Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Hey, here's a good question. How can we praise God in everything? How can we be positive today in this old world? I mean, the hard times, the awful times. You know, the key is God's sovereignty. We must remember that God is in absolute control, even when it seems as if the world is in total chaos. You can trust that God is still at work in everything. So when we think about giving God thanks for all things, the key is to be able to see Him actively working in all things. If you can't see Him in everything, then you can't thank Him for everything, can you? If God's at work in everything, in both the good and the bad, and if He causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him, then we can be assured that our hardships can and will produce somehow good fruit. Romans 8:28. This is great stuff. As we learn in the Bible, our trials result in endurance, James 1:2-3. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing today. The tough times, often the very tool that God uses to bring you closer and have a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is worth any price. So, what in the world is going on? And now, it begins. Governor Kevin Stitt, Republican from Oklahoma, discusses his move to criminalize abortions in his state. Pro-choice activists push to keep abortion rights on indigenous reservations, and his decision to veto a public safety bill, a part of tribal conviction. The White House condemned a new abortion bill that passed there in Oklahoma on Thursday, calling the bill, get this, extreme, absurd, and ultra-MAGA. Why would you want to stop anyone from murdering their child? The bill, House Bill 4327, would ban all abortions after the moment of conception, except a case of rape, incest, or to save the mom's life. The bill bans any procedures that cause the death of an unborn child, which is defined as a human fetus or embryo in any stage of gestation from fertilization until birth. Republican Governor Kevin Stitt has indicated that he will sign that bill, which will go into effect immediately. Meanwhile, the new White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. Oh, is that French? No, but never mind. Anyway, this gal took Psaki's place, right? She condemned the bill. Oh, she was tough. The president believes that women have the fundamental right to make their own reproductive health choices, adding that the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade has been the law of the land for almost 50 years, and basic fairness and the stability of our law demand that it not be overturned. So it's fair that we have murdered children for 50 years, and we should continue to murder children. I said that, not Pierre, Jean-Pierre. Good grief, Charlie Brown. We've lost it as usual in America. What say ye, Joey? The left is currently melting down over the possibility that Roe v. Wade will be overturned, but amidst the shrieks and all the slogans being chanted from the streets of Washington, D.C. by pro-choice advocates, came one of the worst defenses of abortion in history, I mean possibly ever, from none other than sleepy Joe Biden. He claims to be a devout Roman Catholic and told reporters Wednesday that all basic mainstream religions have concluded that when life begins is really a big question. Therefore, the Supreme Court would be wrong to overturn Roe v. Wade. Let me ask you, Hayden Biden, where do you get your stats? All religions? Have you lost your ever-loving mind? Biden goes on to add, Roe says that all basic mainstream religions have historically concluded that the existence of a human life and being is a question. Is it the moment of conception? Is it 6 months? Is it 6 weeks? Is it quickening, like Aquinas argued? I mean, so the idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court, I think, oh, it goes way overboard, said the president. Yeah, he's lost it. He lost it before he ever got in office. Many people still put him there. Those folks, combined with all the mules, voting up to 28 times each, put him there. And here on both sides, the Republicans, the party, been hijacked by Make America Great Extremists, those scary people on that side. Meanwhile, and more Democrats are speaking out. It's just the same for the Democratic Party, that it's been hijacked by extremists, morphing fellow center-left liberals to align with current perspectives of those held by conservatives. The Democratic Party's newfound and aggressive affinity for censoring debate and strong-arming doctors, as an example, is making many of us rethink our political alliance. The words of at least one conservative Democratic doctor. Oh, it's a crazy mixed-up world, even in politics, right? Okay, somebody sound that. Push the red button there. Sound the alarm. Amid the midterm election primaries and a push for another, about $23 billion in emergency aid to pay for a fourth round of pandemic shots as well as treatments and tests, top Biden administration people warned yesterday that one-third of Americans live in communities, maybe you, experiencing rising levels of coronavirus cases and hospitalizations, and it's going to reach the danger point, especially with Memorial Day weekend coming. Run throughout your community. The COVID viruses are coming. The COVID viruses are coming. Put your mask on, even if you're alone in the car and walking through the park and, brother. Wait a minute. Are those skeletons coming out of that closet there? SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, richest man in the world, denied a sexual assault claim from a former flight attendant, whom the company reportedly paid $250,000 as part of a severance agreement back in 2018. Musk, in a yesterday morning tweet following the story, claimed the story should be viewed through a political lens. The attendant worked on a contract basis in the cabin crew for SpaceX's corporate jet fleet. She accused Musk of exposing his, and then rubbing her leg and la-da-da-da-da-da, offering to buy her a horse in exchange for a massage. And, this is just too, you couldn't make this stuff up. We'll see. Meanwhile, the demons flying around the White House and invading some people there fired back at Musk, the billionaire, after the tech mogul criticized the Biden administration for a lack of accomplishments. Well, anybody could do that, and you'd be right on target. Anything you want to talk about. In a recent interview with the All In podcast, Musk said the Biden White House doesn't seem to get a lot done, while stating that Trump's administration officials were effective at getting things done somehow. A White House spokesperson rejected that notion while taking a shot at Musk. Musk is a lifelong Democrat. Well, if you've lived any time on planet Earth, you know that everyone is capable of doing stupid things. Really, there are stupid people in every line of work. We do foolish things. Yeah, pastors too. Cops. Oh, Secret Service agents. Two of them. Sent home from South Korea ahead of President Biden's arrival following their involvement in an off-duty alcohol-related incident. They had too much booze. The two agents whose identities have not been made public are on their way back to Washington. Welcome home, where they'll face disciplinary action, according to a source. The agents were not assigned to the presidential team and were in South Korea ahead of the trip just for logistic reasons. Both agents apparently became drunk while not on duty. One of the agents then got into an altercation with a, who cares, but see, it happens everywhere to people in every line of work, and, you know that already. Nobody perfect. Well, let's go to Virginia, at least as far as stories go. We haven't talked about this for a while, but two Virginia brothers have started an initiative to place fathers in local high schools to support faculty and staff, as well as deter violence among the kids. Jimmy and Josh Carter of Chesterfield County, Virginia, seven children between them, said they were inspired by the Dads on Duty initiative in Louisiana, where a group of dads took matters into their own hands last fall after repeated violence broke out at Southwood High School in Shreveport leading to the arrest of 23 students over just a three-day period. Boy, I read stuff like this, I hear stuff like this, and I think back to my high school days. I don't ever recall, in my 4 years of high school, anything happening. Arrest? Are you kidding me? In Roanoke, Indiana? Well, it's a new America, a flood of evil, even in school. And these kinds of stories just fascinate me. You wonder, how could this possibly be? Next time you're putting some flowers into a vase, we've been doing that a lot here in the spring at the Patton House, you may want to consider checking where it's from, because a rare 18th century Chinese vase that was kept in a kitchen in England recently sold for $1.8 million at auction, over $1 million more than it was expected to go for. It is a beautiful vase. The sale of the blue artifact was handled by an auction company there in England, sitting on the shelf in a kitchen for years at worth $1.8 million. And without question, I guess, then, some of the most incredible discoveries in the world happen where you least expect them. That was the case for one art collector who stumbled upon a rare drawing on his way to a get-together way back in 2019. A Boston art collector stopped by a garage sale. There was a drawing, and he purchased that thing for $30 at the yard sale. It was worth, are you ready for this? Just hard again for me to believe, get my mind around it. Worth more than $10 million, that drawing. So maybe this Friday you could head out to the garage sale. I think that I'm going to do just that. Unfortunately, it usually works the opposite for me. I spend more than it's worth. In health news, what's wrong with this picture? Young girls in this country are experiencing puberty at an earlier age than biologists would particularly expect, with the average age falling to 10, with black girls undergoing the process a year earlier than their peers on the average. The phenomenon was first detected by Dr. Marcia Herman Giddens, a public health expert at the University of North Carolina, when she began to gather data on more than 17,000 girls in the 1990s. She found the average age of puberty was dropping, falling to 10 years of age, with some girls developing that as early as 6. While there are no concrete reasons to explain what is happening, experts have told the New York Times they believe it's been caused by a combination of increasing obesity, the prevalence of chemicals used in plastics, and the stress they are feeling in everyday life. What do you think? In business news, they say the one refrain that you hear on Wall Street these days, there's just no place to hide. As inflation grips profits and the feds tighten the monetary screws, stocks continued their slide with a no-bottom-in-sight program. A number of American corporate giants, including Walmart, Target, Bank of America, Charles Schwab, Intel, all hit 52-week lows yesterday. There you go. Hey, how about this one? China's coronavirus lockdown, the pandemic, means that its economic growth may undershoot the United States of America for the first time since back in 1976 in a role reversal with potential political reverberations in both Beijing and Washington, D.C. The world's second-largest economy will grow just 2% this year, according to Bloomberg. America, 2.8%. While Beijing is applying fiscal, monetary, and regulatory stimulus measures, the impact is being blunted by President Xi's COVID-zero policy, which requires strict curbs on activity when virus breakouts occur. The U.S., while struggling to cope with high inflation, is still being propelled by strong hiring and consumer spending. You know that special feeling you get when you first step out of the sauna into room temperature? The housing market might be experiencing that very thing right now. More signs are suggesting that the sizzling pace of U.S. home price increases is going to start to ease up, you think? Sales of existing homes fell 2.4% in April for their lowest level in almost 2 years. It's the third straight month they've declined, showing how record prices and skyrocketing mortgage rates have made potential homebuyers close their Zillow tabs forever in total frustration. It looks like more declines are imminent in the upcoming months and will likely return to the pre-pandemic home sales activity after the remarkable surge over the last 24 months. There you go. That surge, well, it isn't over yet. The median price of an existing home jumped to an all-time high of $391,000 in April. That's an increase of 15% over last year. And an average home on the market stayed there for just 17 days before being sold. And finally, who said that? I can't resist. Here we are 1 year in, and nothing is built, and nothing is back, and nothing is better. Oh, really? And it was December of 2020 when the fake POTUS said, "My message to everyone struggling is this, help is on the way." Yeah, you betcha. The 9 most terrifying words in the English language, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." That was Ronald Reagan, August of 1986. And saving the best for last, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask God to forgive you of your sins today and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend." Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this message. Well, talked to a gal this week, took a vacation, headed way down south, and coming back, I think they were coming through Nashville, Tennessee. Anyway, they thought they would go to church service there Sunday morning. Why, of course, good old Nashville, one of the fastest growing and becoming one of the most expensive places in the country to live. Anyway, talking to her, it was somewhat fascinating. Why? They went to 3 different churches. They were absolutely packed, and each of them had police directing the traffic. We don't have that up here. I'm talking about Fort Wayne, Indiana. We need people brought in by the police. Anyway, what are you all doing different down south than up north? Is it more religious down there? In any event, the family that prays together stays together, and I want to encourage you this Sunday, whether you're north, south, east, or west, to be in church, my friend, this Sunday. It is such a blessing for you. Worship with your family and friends, where the Word of God is proclaimed every Sunday. So, what kind of an impact are you having on the world? We have a lot of good biblical examples of those that impacted the world, right? Jesus lived his life very quietly for 30 years. Then, when he began his public ministry, he had a gigantic effect upon human history. He did not cause a ripple. His impact was more like a tidal wave, tsunami, that circled the globe from the moment he came on the scene. And his influence will continue to affect the entire world until he returns and calls it all to a climax. Consider Saul of Tarsus standing in the midst of a crowd. He witnessed a man by the name of Stephen being stoned to death. As he watched, he heard Stephen crying out to Jesus and commending his spirit to him. Acts chapter 7. After some time elapsed, Saul was struck by that same Son of God whom Stephen had addressed, and he lay on the ground, and Saul found himself, while he was calling out, saying, "Who are you, Lord?" And he heard the reply, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Acts 9. After he was saved by the grace of God, Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. It was as if God dropped a huge boulder into a calm sea. Paul began to travel with his friends throughout the Mediterranean world. He established a little group here, discipling a gathering over there, winning a few souls in this location and that location. He was able to sow the world at his time with little churches that began to grow and influence lives. And 2,000 years later, Paul's epistles, some of which were written in a prison cell, are still a major impact on our lives. You read them daily? You should. And though I've been studying them for years and years now, they continue to teach me fresh and new truths. It all goes back to one man who was standing on the outer edges there of a crowd, noticing a dying man talking to the Son of God. Men and women today can likewise have a big influence. Sure we can. Not many people recognize the name of Henrietta Mears, who was the educational director of a church in California. Under her influence, however, over 400 young people felt the call of God and began to serve the Lord. You probably know the names of 2 of those lives. One, Bill Bright, who was so highly influenced by this woman that he began to win college students to Christ and disciple them. Then God gave him a vision that if he could do this with a few individuals, he could do it with more. And as a result, one man established a thing called Campus Crusade for Christ, a ministry which has shared the gospel with over 2 billion people. That organization has seen countless decisions for Christ and has impacted hundreds of thousands of young men and women to serve the Lord. Whoever heard of Henrietta Mears? But the name Bill Bright is known all around the world through his life. Ms. Mears, that little ripple, became a tsunami for the gospel. Another man affected by this Christian educator is Billy Graham, who said of Ms. Mears, "I doubt if any other woman outside my wife and mother has had such an influence on my life." Dr. Graham has preached to more than any other individual ever has. He was one of God's premier evangelists for the 20th century. How God used both of these men is absolutely immeasurable, and it can be traced back to one woman's influence many years ago. The issue really isn't who was Henrietta Mears. The issue is, what kind of an impact can one person have in the world today? Keep in mind that the men Ms. Mears influenced were not prominent at the time. It was her inspiration and testimony that had the effect of shaping their lives. You simply don't know the potential of your impact because you are not aware of everyone who is watching your life, listening to you, hearing about you. Never, ever, ever underestimate your potential. God is the only one who can truly measure it, my friend. Jesus told us we're to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. It's not a choice, but a mandate to be strong, be an influence for good in the lives of people who are without Jesus. We live in a world full of trouble and impurities. You hear me talk about it every day. We need to be the salt and the light, both of which make a difference wherever they are. That is exactly the reason Jesus chose to use these two words. How do you affect an individual with whom you come in contact? Does it make any difference at all that you have been present? When you walk away from people, are they left with something special they can't quite explain? Is there something about your countenance or your handshake or your whatever it is, something loving in you that they sense but can't quite figure out? Or do you live your life in a little concentric circle like a grain of sand dropped into an ocean? I mean, think about that. But even if it were a lake, it doesn't make any difference at all. We wouldn't even know it. Christians who live to fulfill God's purpose are not making tiny ripples. No, they're not. They're making a meaningful impact on the people around them. And remember that God wants you to be the salt and the light. Salt, anything it touches, changes. Light, wherever you shine it, darkness flees. You need to be salty today. Salty as possible. As bright as you can possibly be, so that the circle of the impact of your life will carry the force of God's power everywhere. That is just great stuff. And finally, a husband and wife driving through the great state of Louisiana. As they approached Natchitoches, they started arguing about the pronunciation of that town. They argued back and forth, and they stopped for lunch. And at the counter, the husband asked the blonde waitress, "Before we order, could you please settle an argument? Would you please pronounce where we are very slowly?" The gal leaned over the counter and said, "Burger King." Come on, laughter is a good medicine. That's it for a Friday. You've been listening to Hello World News, information and comment from a Christian perspective out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and carried by this local Christian radio station, on which we say thank you very much. And thank you, the listener. Hey, on Monday, we're going to be back here, same time, same place, doing it all over again. Thank you for liking us on Facebook and friending us. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Hey, see you in church on Sunday. God bless. Enjoy the remainder of your Friday.